Savior. Hears our cries. He hears our pleas. We know that He hears our every time that we call on His name. Just praise God. Hope everyone's doing well. As I said earlier tonight, we would just keep, as I said, Brother Eddie and them. This is their Pastor Appreciation Getaway Week, so they're really enjoying it. He texted me earlier this week, and so they really love the cabin. It was beautiful where they're at. So we just want to keep them in our prayers, and as in all, and the others that are traveling and all the situations going forward. But I just want to get right into the message tonight. The song's so appropriate. I did Redeemed, and you'll understand why as we get into this message, why we did that song too tonight. But I just love the Lord and really excited. Always love the opportunity we have just to spend time in His Word. So if y'all would, we're all just going to turn to Hebrews 9, and we're going to read 9:14 through 15. Hebrews 9:14 through 15. And we'll look at some other verses tonight too as we get ready. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Chapter 9. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Praise God. Brother Thomas, if you ask the Lord just to bless His Word tonight. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated if you can. Just praise God. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise. So we kind of get ourselves stirred up this evening. Praise the Lord. Our message tonight, if it has a title, it just says My Redeemer. And I've been thinking about it and singing that song Redeemed and looking at the different text of that word and the definitions. We're going to look at it here in just a minute. But our message tonight, and as we look at it, before and you know, as we read verse 14 and 15, but it says up in 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifieth to purifying of the flesh, which was at that policy, then how much more shall the blood of Christ, our Redeemer, lives? He is our Redeemer, the price that He paid for you and I. As we were studying this and I was getting ready, I'm going to kind of give you a little background first, if you don't mind. Our Sunday school class, outside the New Horizon class, we're going through the Bible, and we're in Deuteronomy right now. And we're in Deuteronomy 19. And as you read about it, and it's where Moses was given the law to the people before they went into Canaan land, before they crossed the river. And Moses was very to the point. He was actually speaking for God. It's a direction that God had given him. And one thing that he said, as they get this land that God gives you, he said, I want you to divide it into three sections. And it talks about it being even. But in each section, there would be a city for a total of three cities. And they're the cities of refuge. It's what God had set aside for the people at that time. Cities of refuge. Y'all remember that because we're going to go through the word of refuge, redeemed, and also sanctuary. And as we were reading it, my curiosity really built up. And we were discussing in class and we got going. And when we started looking up definitions and directions, as you really look at it, refuge, and it's very simple. It's just think about this as we talk about it. It says to flee, or in most cases, a refuge is a place to flee in order to get away from people or places that's unsafe. We talk about a refuge. I'm going to swap. Is this one still on? If it's not, it's fine. Okay, thank you. I don't want to drive y'all crazy running you back and forth. I should have already grabbed it because I'm going to move. But if you think about a refuge, you know, people say, I'm seeking refuge. We hear that in the news a lot right now, too. But we're seeking refuge. If it's a storm, Say a tornado's coming. You get out of your car, you get in a ditch. Or if it's one of those situations where you get in a cave or a tunnel, get under a bridge. That refuge that we're seeking, a safe place. And as God had set this up, and we read about it in Deuteronomy. It had been mentioned also in Numbers. But as you talk about this refuge, a city of refuge. Say, for instance, and this is what it gives actually in the Bible. It says you're out chopping wood. And there are another person there or people there. And you're chopping wood, you're mining, you're doing what you're supposed to do. And the head of the axe comes off the handle. And it kills another person. That was an accident. It was not intended. It was not mischievous. You did not plan to commit murder. You did not plan for this to happen. And it gave you an opportunity to go to the city of refuge to where you could be safe. And everything would go from there. The Levites had the city. There would be, you know, the priest would get involved, I'm sure, of everything. But one thing that happens in this case, and so many times as the law was, the avenger would come after you. The avenger of blood, it talks about. You know, an eye for an eye. So if you killed, it'd be their avenger. Normally it's from their family or somewhere along that line. But God had set up a city of refuge. Now think about all this as we go through. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that point, but I want to think about it. We're looking for refuge. There's a place now in this day and time. And I know we talk about it in our small groups. We talk about it in Sunday school. You hear it preached so much. The word that's going forth right now has been really pricking my heart. I had a conversation with someone Saturday, and they were asking about time. You know, the scripture coming together, the things that you're seeing. All these things, and there's people now are starting to question, or some that I know that I've come in contact with. And even in my personal walk, I'm going to be honest with you, there's times I've looked in that mirror and I've questioned myself. Am I where I need to be? Am I, you know, I ask for forgiveness of my sins, and I know that my Redeemer lives, and I know that He's paid the price, but I want to make sure, and for me and my family, the people I'm in contact with, all those that I want to pray for and I want to reach out to. And I think about this city as God had prepared this city of refuge. So the next word that I want to look at, and these are all came from this, but it's sanctuary. So I'm looking for refuge. I'm going to end up seeking it. And if I'll be honest with you, I'm going to say a little bit more about it. I was reading in some of the commentaries, there's actually history, or the way it was written, that this, the way it was set up, the refuge city was set in the center of that area as it's divided, the land's divided into three sections. And it also said that the roads or the paths were kept up, that if somebody needed to get there, they could. Now, I think about that, and then I think about, so what are the, when they get there, they're asking for the protection of God. He set it a place for them because it's innocence. It's not murder. Like I said, it wasn't malice. It wasn't done on purpose. And then when you get there, you got a sanctuary. When I looked at a sanctuary, and I just did simple definitions for us tonight, but it says a sanctuary is a place of protection. And then another place, it said a sacred asylum, a sanctuary for protection, and then it says a holy place. Well, when I think of a sanctuary, I think of this building here. This is our sanctuary. This is a holy place. This is a place of safety. This is a place of comfort. This is a place, it's a holy place where you feel like you can come and not only be with other like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, but you're in a safe place. We have the altar here. The word is preached here. And I know we have other places that could be classified as a sanctuary, but this is what I think of. I know being raised, and y'all have to understand the kind of churches we went to, sanctuary was very, very, it was a holy place. It was sacred. You didn't make any noise. You didn't run. You didn't anything in the church that I was in. Matter of fact, I don't even remember being an amen corner till we got a little bit older. But that was the sanctuary. So from refuge, I'm seeking something. And then I'm thinking of the sanctuaries we're in this area. And then I'm wondering, and then I put God in the picture, or in Jesus. And my heart was reaching out. And I want to be honest with you tonight. It's been really heavy on my heart that the word needs to go out about Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Because all of this is put into place, but as we go into the new dispensation of the New Testament, and I believe in both, I believe we should study them both. They're both are interlocked in everything that we do. But I started looking at it real close, and I was reading in Isaiah 48:17. It says, "Thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." So God is leading us. He's directing us. He set aside a city of refuge. We've talked about the sanctuary and all the holiness. And if you also read about the sanctuary back in the Old Testament, it was talking about the tabernacle too, the Holy of Holies, as you would break it down and how you could look at it. So where I'm going with this, and like I said, the song we did, the Redeemer, what was spoken on just a minute ago about that, Miss Tabitha, and the other beautiful songs that were sung tonight. But I really want us to look at redeemed or Redeemer tonight. I want us to look at Jesus Christ. Because there's so much going on. Have you? And I'm just going to be honest with you. I always tell y'all too much about me. So that way, I know you're definitely not going to, you know, you're going to think, oh, bless his heart. Somebody's going to pat me on the back before it's over with. But there are times I'm troubled in my personal walk. There's times I'm troubled in a situation that I'm in. You know, you work in the world, or secular, I think, is the word that we would use tonight. There's so many things that are transpiring. But I know who I serve. And I know who loves me. And I don't want to mess up. And I want to ask for forgiveness. And I know I actually did some reading. This is my personal reading. But there was a place that I read and it caught my eye. And it's talking about sin. It's talking about someone not necessarily falling away, but being tempted by that daily sin and those situations that come forth. And as I was reading this, and I really wanted to get as close as I can, and I've asked God to help us in this tonight, but let me give you a couple of definitions of redeemed. There's four different versions we have. One of them is redeem, the actual word, redeem. It says to purchase back, to ransom, or to liberate, or to rescue from captivity or bondage, or from any obligation or liability, to suffer or to forfeit it by paying an equivalent as, or to redeem prisoners or captive goods, to redeem or pledge. A pledge. That's cashing in. You're paying back. That to redeem is actually like if you have a coupon, or I'll say it real simple. This is one that we deal with. You go into the laundry, you go in and you used to have a little ticket, and you go in and redeem your ticket and get your clothes, you pay for it. You've released them. You've redeemed those clothings now or given back to you. Then the next one, and that's redeem. The next one is redeemed with an ED on the end. It says delivered from bondage, distress, penalty, liability, or from the possession of another by paying an equivalent. So it's been redeemed, but then it is redeemed. It's actually a process that now it's yours. And then there's another one, which is the action word, I call it, or doing, is redeeming. Ransoming, procuring deliverance from captivity, bondage, sin, distress, or liability, to suffer by the payment of an equivalent. That's redeeming. So that's three of them. And that kind of gives us an idea of where I'm going. I'm going from a refuge, a sanctuary, but to make it all possible, my sins were redeemed. My sins were paid for. Because of why? And that is the Redeemer. And this is a very beautiful definition as I look this up. It says the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. He is our Redeemer. I'm here tonight not to beat Jim up, not to beat any of y'all up, but I want to say this as a Wednesday night crowd that we come together because we choose to. I want to remind each and every one of us that there is a refuge. God has prepared it for us. There is a holy place, and that's at the foot of the cross. And we have a Redeemer, and that's Jesus Christ. There's no doubt in my mind that the things that I get torn up about, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Elaine will tell you, I get off on some weird stuff and she has to reel me back in.
But God has so much patience with me, and I thank Him so much. The Lord, I know there's many, many times He probably snickers. And He says, come here. It's okay. And I believe that in my heart. I know that I'm not, and I'll say this honestly. I've told God this, and I know. I am no more worthier than anyone else. I'm not special. But my Redeemer is. I want y'all to think about that tonight. Every time we sing that song, as Sister Tabitha had said, is as we're redeemed, or the redeemed, or it's being redeemed or redeeming, is Jesus Christ is doing everything. He did all the work, didn't He? What did you have to pull out of your wallet or your purse? What did you have to do without except turn from sin, right? Accept Him. There's a free will. There is a walk here, and I'll say this, and it's in Ephesians 1:7. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, for forgiveness of sins. And we should put the word in there, our sins, according to the riches of His grace. We need to cut that out, stick it somewhere where we see it, or I know I do. It says, in whom we have redemption, we have the redemption through His blood, Jesus Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins, my sins, according to the riches of His grace. I did nothing to earn that, did I? Except accept Him and Him love. He loves me that much. He loves you that much. This is a crowd that I want us to leave here upbeat. I want us to be in a situation now as we study and we think about those sanctuary cities that He had a place for those that it was an innocent, I'm not going to say innocent, there was an action taken. But for that accident that created a death, that immediately the penalty would have been death to that person because of the avenger of blood, it would have immediately happened. But had it not been for God and His mercy and His wisdom who created a city of refuge that you could go there and seek Him. And I put in the sanctuary, is my words. I put in the sanctuary, a place that you could go to Him. And in our case, we can go to the foot of the cross and we say, Lord, I'm sorry. And I'll be honest with you. It's a spot that we all should have a little area that's worn out, to where we hit our knees before the Lord, or maybe lay prostrate in front of Him or whatever. If we can't get down and we have our chair. I love that movie War Room, that prayer closet. I love it. I love it. I need to be closer to God. I need to be closer to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I need to have that open line of communication just like I have with my wife. We check in with each other in the mornings because I leave before she does. She checks on me to make sure I'm there, or vice versa. She lets me know when she's on her way home. We communicate. That's our daily routine. We check in during the day. Usually I bug her at work. I can hear the phones ringing and her having people at her desk. And she's going, okay, okay. I said, you sound busy. Yeah, okay. Okay, well, I'll call you later. Why can't I have that kind of relationship with God, with Jesus? He knows me. He prepared all this for me. There's so much Scripture, and I don't know if we're going to get into all of it tonight, but there's a couple of them. And I'm going to go to Psalms 46 real quick, if y'all give me just a second. And if I don't have them in the order, because I've jumped around already tonight. I told Brother Tony, he said, we were talking about something else before services. I'm sorry to bother you. I said, oh, that's all right. I said, it's game time. I said, it's God's now. I'm just going to step in there and let Him use me. But in Psalms 46, I'm just going to read a little bit in the beginning. Listen to this. If it doesn't bring tears to your eyes, or at least open up your heart. The first verse, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Does it not put those three words together? I'm running. I need a refuge. I'm running to that city of refuge. I'm seeking God in the sanctuary and the holiness that I can reach Him, and I'm accepting His redeeming power. He paid my debt. Somebody's coming after me and He goes, stop. I'll cover it. You hear the story so many times, and I know we've done it in the children's dramas, that all of a sudden you go and you stand on the scale it was a very moving. Young people, we were doing it. And they stood on the scale. And it was almost like when you got up there, there was all your sin. It might sound like it was, you know, we used the young people to do it. But I saw them crying. I saw them realize that's a debt I owe that I cannot pay. When we go there and we seek Him, and it says that He is our refuge and strength in a time of help and trouble, in a very present help in trouble. They're standing there, and the prosecuting attorney, or however you want to look at it, that's the way we did it, like it was a trial, he started calling out all this stuff. And there was no answer. There was no excuse. There was no, well, I didn't do that, because it was all the truth. And immediately during this time, Jesus steps in and takes them all. He said, I'll pay for that sin, or I've paid for that sin. That is the most beautiful thing you could ever think of. Somebody, Jesus has done that for me. You know, He's done it for you. All we got to do is receive it. All we've got to do is say, okay, Lord, You want to pay it? Go ahead. I'll accept it, and I'll follow You anywhere You want me to go. You know, you hear people being teased with fancy things, you know, gold, diamonds, jewelry, cars, all this to tempt people to go in evil. But how much greater is Jesus Christ for you and I? Because He didn't come out of His wallet. He owns everything anyway, so that wouldn't be anything to Him. What He gave was His life, that precious blood, that purity. It said that, you know, whatever, you know, other sacrifice would do, but what about the pureness of Jesus? And it also says, in number 2, it says, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And you drop down in 5, and it says, God, in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. And then down in 7, it says it again. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And if you drop down to 11, it's almost worded exactly. It says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Such powerful, powerful words. My Redeemer is Jesus Christ. It's not my boss that check comes in every week that we go to work for. It's not the government that is offering freebies or whatever they're doing. It's not some pretty shiny little temptation that comes against us. It's not a song that makes you think. It's not that sweet aroma. It's not that tingle to the eyes. It's not that pat on the back. What Jesus has for us is the purest of everything. That pure lamb, that sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, that died for you and I. We need to leave here tonight when we get ready to leave and shut down and know that God is in control. No matter what you see on the news, what you hear, no matter what viruses are going around, no matter what the medical teams are trying, the scientists are trying to figure out, this political mud that's being thrown back and forth, all the things going out, we as children of God should stand strong, carry our banner high, and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That has to be our motto. That has to be it. And over in 1 Peter 1 and 18, and y'all, I cheated. I've got Jimmy clips on mine. I don't know if that's the right order, but we're going to do it anyway. 1 Peter 1:18, 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. It just says it right here, plain as day. Peter says, silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. But read this next one in 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. How can we not understand what our choices are and our choices as parents, grandparents, you know, whether, you know, whatever our situation is accept Jesus Christ in our house and let Him rule us, no matter where you are. You might have been saved as a child. You might have made a commitment. You might have been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. But as we go through this world day in and day out, we need to be reminded that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He's our Redeemer. This worldly stuff, as it says, it's not going to take silver and gold. You know, you're not going to buy your way in. You know, it hit the news. You might be able to buy your child into college until you get caught. You might be able to do all these kind of things. But what is really important is our salvation. This church, this sanctuary, this place of safety. We have young people downstairs. We have teens. We have them out in the children's church. We have the visitors that come in, even ourselves. We need to do everything we can to seek God and seek Him first in everything that we do. I don't want to beat anybody up tonight. I just want to say this. I love God and I love what He does. But I want to read something else to you. And it's in Ephesians 1:7 again. I'm going to read it in the King James, which is normally what I read. But in whom we have redemption through His blood. That's all we need, that redemption power. He's our Redeemer. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. But I want to read it to you in the Amplified. And as I use it sometimes to add the extra adjectives and the things that they emphasize. In Him we have redemption, and that's Jesus. That is our deliverance and salvation through His blood. And this is powerful words here, which paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sin in accordance with the riches of His grace. That is all we need to know and believe. Because if we look at that, we talked about He says our pardon of our sins. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and we've given all of our situations to Him, even when we sin, when we get riled up, when we slip, when we fall. I love the song they sing. Is that when I fall, Jesus picks me up, wipes off my sins, and puts me on my feet again. You know, who am I? As these songs that we sing. I'm not a king or a prince. I don't own the mansion on the hill. But then I say, do you want to know who I am? I'm a child of the living God of Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. And that's where we need to be. The depression, things that are really tearing families apart, there's so many things that we need healing, we need protection, we need guidance, we need to be lifted up in reassurance. And that's exactly what we need to do now. And that's let Jesus be our Lord and Savior. Let Him be our healer. Understand that His stripes and everything that we do. As grandparents, we've been blessed just these last few weeks to have Mason and them downstairs. And tickled us to death when his young friend, when she wanted to come with us to church. So this is twice she's made it over here. Now they go to a big church. She says, I like that little church. She says she's got an uncle somewhere, lives somewhere else. She says, I like that. That's all we need. Just be a tool that the Lord can use. Just let them know Jesus loves them. Help pick them up. Brush them off. Bring them to church or pray for them at home. Try to ask, you know, their parents, everything they go through. And it's no, I don't have the perfect life. I'm going to be honest with you. I've told you all this story many, many times. I try not to bring it up anymore if I'm bringing the Word. But there are times that I've looked in that mirror and I didn't like what I saw. And it wasn't a bad hair day. I was looking in there, something that was really tearing me up. And I had to ask my Lord to help me. Lord, let me get back where I need to be. I don't like this worrying and pacing. And not that I'm one that I believe in dotting all the I's, crossing the T's. I drive a lane crazy because I want to prepack and then unpack and repack and unpack. That's just who I am. But God puts up with that too. But the most of all is when somebody asks me who I am, I'm a child of God. I know y'all love the Lord. And I thank y'all for that. I thank you for your support. I thank you for supporting this church. Brother Eddie has mentioned to me many, many times what y'all mean to him, what y'all mean to the church. Because your prayers, your dedication, reaching out, helping others through the food closet, through our love offerings, through all the things that we do, through our ministries. But we need to know in a time of need, in a time of situation, in this day and time, I'm not prophesizing, I'm not calling anything. I will say this. I know I'm more of a student of the Word now than I've ever been, and I'm not a scholar by no means. But I know there are things that I can say that are there now. And I know our parents and grandparents all felt the same way in many different situations. But I want to be ready. What about you? I want my house to be ready. What about you? Praise God. And now we can pray for them. We're going to ask them. We're going to lift it up. And that's what we're going to do tonight as we get ready to close. I don't want to hold y'all real late. Matter of fact, it's about that time. But I do want you to know that the Scripture tonight, I want to say this, and down in 1 Peter 1:23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. His Word will abide forever. I'll be long gone. Folks won't even remember who I am. But if one of my Bibles is laying around, I hope somebody can pick it up and let the Lord minister to them as He's done me. And for you, I love each and every one of you. Let's all stand, because what I'd like to do tonight, I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. Y'all know this altar is open. But I do want to say this, and if there's a situation, whether it be in your life or a challenge, temptation, someone in your family, someone that you know about, and it's easy to say, and I don't want none of us to stand here and say, well, oh, so-and-so should have been here tonight. He would have told them. I'm talking about ourselves. But if there's a situation tonight that we need to pray for, like I said, this altar's open, but if you'd like to just raise your hand and know that God is in control. He is our Redeemer. He is everything that we need. Praise God.